The word I've written on the board is veneer. Everybody know what veneer means? Well, we are exposed to it a lot in our world today. Some of us might live in a house that we would call a brick house, but the odds that you have a solid brick house is very slim. Most all of our brick houses in our United States is nothing more than a brick veneer. That's just the outside. And the walls are made of lumber and other materials, of course. Years ago, I remember some of the old buildings there in the town where I worked. There was a couple buildings that they decided to demo and take down, and I don't remember what they put in that place, in place of those buildings, but these were buildings that had been there since early statehood. I think Veneta was probably established around the time that Oklahoma became a state, so they were probably close to 100 years old. I don't know, but they were brick buildings, not brick veneer. They were brick buildings, and the walls were several, I don't know just how thick they were, but they were probably a minimum of 8, and they might have been 12 or 16 inches thick, and they were nothing but bricks that were laid. So they took the buildings down, and those bricks, because they're solid bricks, not bricks with holes in them, they can clean them, and some people will pay quite a bit of money for those used bricks. Anyway, there's quite a difference between a solid brick building and a brick veneer building. And our pews here in the chapel are the thing that looks like wood. Well, it is wood, kind of wood. It's by and large, it's a veneer. The thing that's exposed there. It's very likely that behind the veneer is particle board. Might be something they call MDF, I don't know, but it's like glue and sawdust. But it has a veneer over it, so it looks like maybe oak, hardwood, and even plywood. We go and buy plywood, and it is a veneer on the outside. Veneer means a very thin layer of something that's put over the top of another type of material. I've never been a logger, but I've known people that's worked in the logging industry and cut timber to sell for saw logs to be sawn into lumber and that stuff. And when they cut a tree that they can get a veneer log out of, they put veneer logs off to the side, and they'd like a whole load of veneer logs to take to the mill. Well, a veneer log is worth, I don't know how many times, but many times more. It might both of them be oak, or both of them be another type of hardwood, or maybe even some kind of softer wood. But if it's a veneer quality log, it's worth so much more, because they can take that log and put it on like a lathe, and that big log can become really thin sheets of wood. I have an old desk, wood's desk, that I don't know how long my parents had it, but it was an old desk when I was a little boy, and it got in kind of disrepair. And at some point, since Anita and I has been married, I decided to kind of refinish this desk. And over the course of the years, the top had become, my mother had put potted plants on it, and it got water spilt on it, and so the top was kind of wrinkled and had, it was damaged. So I thought, well, if I could buy some veneer, and I'm not a woodworker by trade, well, I thought if I could buy some veneer and glue that on there, I peeled off the damaged stuff and I sanded it, and it was all kinds of different pieces of lumber, didn't look like a solid piece of plywood or anything like that on the top, but I sanded it smooth, and I ordered some veneer, and I don't remember what I paid for it, but I thought it was kind of expensive at the time, and when I got it, it was in a cardboard tube, and it came in the mail, and I pulled it out, and this, I don't know how thick the real wood was, but I'm going to guess it was in just a few thousandths of an inch is all the thicker it was, and it had been glued or bonded to something that looked like a paper sack, about that thickness of paper, and it was rolled up, and I don't remember how wide it was, but I'd bought enough to do that whole top, and this desk is probably 30 inches deep and maybe 48 inches wide, something like that. It's a pretty good size old desk. And so I had one try. I wanted to make sure this was right because I'd spent a lot of money on that little cardboard tube of veneer. So I done all my preparation, and actually I was pretty impressed with myself. It turned out looking pretty nice when I was done. But that veneer was extremely thin. It wasn't a 16th. It wasn't an 1/8 inch thick. It wasn't, I don't know, it might have been 30 thousandths of an inch. Maybe 5 or 6 hair's breadth is all it was. It was, when it was on, glued on there, I had very little margin to sand to make it perfectly smooth before I finished it. So this desk that I'm standing behind today, this is not veneer. Every piece of wood in this is solid wood. The reason I know that is because my neighbor across the road made it for us, and I was over there and seen the material that he used. Every piece in this is solid oak. There's no glue and cardboard in this anywhere. There's no particle board. There's no nothing about it. If you drill a hole in it, it's going to be solid oak all the way through. So I've been thinking about this veneer thought and how important and how valuable it is to be to be veneer quality, but not veneer. Did that make sense? A veneer log is one that don't have, if it has a knot anywhere in the wood, it would be a really, really small one. Like, I don't know what the maximum size is, but I'm going to say is maybe as big around as my little finger or something. It has to be almost non-existent. And maybe it does have to be non-existent. I don't know on that. But a veneer is not a new concept. It's been around a long time. I'd like to turn to Exodus, the 36th chapter. I'm going to read a few verses here. And this is Moses. The story here is where Moses and the men that had been appointed, I believe ultimately by God, to build the components for the tabernacle, the place where they worshiped. In when after they come out of Egypt and the Lord give them the old law, and then they built the tabernacle. So notice here, beginning in verse 31 of chapter 36 of Exodus, and he made bars of shittim wood, five for the boards of the one side of the tabernacle, and five bars for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and five bars for the boards of the tabernacle for the sides westward. And he made the middle bar shoot through the boards from one end to another, and he overlaid the boards with gold, and made their rings of gold to be placed in the for the bars, and overlaid the bars with gold. And he made a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen with cherubims, made he it of cunning work. And he made thereunto four pillars of shittim wood and overlaid them with gold. And their hooks were of gold, and he cast for them four sockets of silver. And he made an hanging for the tabernacle door of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen of needlework, and the five pillars of it with their hooks. And he overlaid the chapiters and their fillets with gold, but their five sockets were of brass. So we know that gold is a very expensive component if you were going to build with it. And gold doesn't have a very high tensile strength. In other words, it wouldn't be very structurally strong. The main thing that gold has, and they didn't have electricity back then, but gold is one of the best electrical conductors of anything. In fact, gold is used today on certain circuits just because it is not, and it's not solid gold either, it's just gold plated. It's a gold veneer, if you will, because it's corrosive. Resistant, and it's a very highly conductive material. I don't know, Brother Paul might be able to tell us in his line of work if you have any gold plated connections and terminals, but your airbags on your car's got gold-plated terminals on it. So, if you want to see some real gold. Anyway, but these boards for the tabernacle were overlaid, or it was a veneer of gold. I just want to make sure we understand, in going into this little thought tonight, what veneer is. And to be able to, sometimes when it says that things were overlaid, it says it was overlaid with pure gold. It wasn't gold that was still had impurities in it. And any veneer probably looks better on the surface than the real solid stuff. But it's not the real thing. Years ago, Anita and I went shopping for another desk. It was a roll-top desk that we wanted for our computer. This has been a long time ago. And I remember going into this place, and they had all kinds of different desks. And we had a certain dimension that we was looking for. And of course, we had a budget that we was having to deal with, too. Money was an object. We had limitations to what we could spend. And I remember going in one places, and they had this computer-friendly roll-top desk, and the guy that was trying to be a salesman, it was probably a furniture store or something like that. He said, "Now this one here, it's solid wood." And I said, "Oh, really?" He said, "Yes, it's solid wood." I said, "For that price, it's solid wood." "Oh, yes, sir, it's solid wood." And I reached back there, and I pulled they had one of those cord organizers, you know, the kind of a plug with a little slot in it. And I reached back there and I lift that plug out where they'd bored a hole through it, and the hole was, probably 2 inches in diameter. I don't know how big they are. Pretty good size hole. And I pull that hole out, and it's very obvious that it was some kind of chipboard or particle board in there. And I said, what do you call that? He said, well, I didn't know that. He said, they told me it was solid wood. And I said, well, it's wood product, but it's not solid lumber. Okay. If it had been solid lumber, it would have been much more expensive. All right. That's the point. So something was said this morning, and I think one of us said, or I think I said something about being a bumper sticker Christian. Everybody know what I'm talking about there? You got the bumper sticker. We've all seen those cars with the fish on the back, or one that says, I love Jesus, or whatever. Well, this word starts getting serious in our thought tonight. You know, people want to take the characteristics of true Christianity and they want to shave it really, really thin, and they want to drape it over lots of stuff. You ever seen a business that advertised that they were Christian owned? Ever seen that? What does that make you think of? It makes me think that Christian values would be upheld there, right? I would think that any transaction with them would be honest and above board. I would think that if they set an expectation, that it'd be very realistic. And I believe that if they told me something about their product, if it said Christian owned, then I would expect that to be the truth. If they told me it was solid wood, then I would expect that to be a true statement. And unfortunately, in our world today, many times Christian values, honesty, integrity, moral integrity, uprightness, fairness, equality, all of those things many times is shaved to veneer thickness and then glued on to something else. And I believe there's a calling for us to be solid hardwood. All right? Solid hardwood. I think of this 15th Psalm. Let's turn to the 15th Psalm. And we're not going to comment about each verse. I just want to read it through, and you can go home and study this your own self, but it's a psalm I think about quite often. And I ask the Lord, Lord, am I living up to this? Am I this quality of Christian? Or do I just have a bumper sticker religion, and is my profession just a veneer? Because I believe it's very important for us to have an experience that's more than a veneer. It says here in Psalms 15, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? The question is, who's going to be acceptable in God's sight? He says, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that feareth the Lord, He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. This is talking about solid sincerity all the way through. It's not talking about a veneer. It's not talking about a facade. It's not talking about something that's just surface deep. But it's talking about something that goes all the way to the core. It's something, these are characteristics here that could be shaved off real thin and plastered on something that was less than solid and made it look like it was a real thing. How do we keep that and how do we maintain that? I think the answer we can find in Psalms as well. Let's turn to Psalms 139, I believe it is. Maybe I've got the wrong psalm here, but it says, search me, O Lord. What psalm am I looking for? And see if there be any wicked way in me. Somebody help me with that. What's that? Okay, there we go. I was in the right psalm. Wasn't in the right place on the page for my Bible. So down the last two verses of this psalm, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Lord, examine me at a level that's deeper than just on the surface. Examine me a little closer than what people think I am. Look down in my heart. All the way, you know, I don't know how many times something passes for a veneer log and they put it on the lathe or whatever to shave it off, and the people that bought it get a surprise. You know, maybe they get down so deep or so far in the log, and then all of a sudden they come against something that they weren't expecting. Maybe there's something that looks, there's a big knot down inside, or some kind of deformity in the wood that had been healed over. Maybe it happened when the tree was really young. Maybe the tree was only 6 inches in diameter and they bought a log that was 18 inches in diameter. I don't know. But just, Lord, look all the way down inside. Our medical field today, they have all kinds of scans and ways to look inside of our body without cutting us open. You know, they can do X-rays and CT scans and I don't know all the different digital imaging things that they can do, and it's amazing what they can tell. The first time that I saw a ultrasound of a little baby before they were born, it was a good thing somebody was there to explain it to me, because it did not. I could not make it look like salad to me. And now those things look like pictures. It's incredible what they can do. And you know, the Lord can look down in your heart. He can look all the way through. You know, you might look like veneer quality on the outside. I might look like it too. But the psalmist here says, search me, O Lord. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see, look for something that wouldn't be pleasing to you. He said, and see if there be any wicked way in me, but don't just leave me there. And the Lord won't lead you there or leave you there. He says, and lead me in the way everlasting. What does that mean? The Lord wants to take us wherever his examination finds us, and he wants to lead us into a way that you can check any way you want to, and it's going to be solid hardwood. That's what he wants out of us. I hope that we can be challenged tonight to not have veneer, but be veneer quality. I don't want us to go away from here thinking, oh, if I can just get the right bumper sticker, everything will be okay. That's not what it's about. In fact, as a general rule, I don't like bumper stickers because not that I'm a, if you got a bumper sticker, I'm not telling you to take it off. It's just, anyway, I want people to make a conclusion about me in my profession of Christianity, not from a bumper sticker they see, not from me telling them I'm a Christian. I'm willing to tell them that I am, but I want them to make that observation and be convinced of it from something that's more than just a surface thing or a superficial thing. I'd like to go to Ephesians. We'll bring our little thought to a close. Let's go to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." You know, right now, I've got a little grandson that thinks that I can do anything. He'll go with me. He very seldom does he pull back. He's ready to go with Papa. Anything I want to do, he's ready to go. And he follows me. I believe that you could just say, "Do you want to go outside with Papa?" And he's ready. He's just ready to go. And it says here, "Be you followers of God," like that. And he says, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint." Don't have a facade. Don't have a veneer. Be true to the Christian principles and values all the way through. That's the challenge. He says, "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." Be veneer quality. Don't have veneer, but be veneer quality. Be solid all the way through. Let these things, when it says, "Don't let these things be once named among you," what does that mean to us? I'll tell you what it means to me. It means that there is an expectation for me not to just name the name, but to be what the name is all the time. At home, with my family, on the job, when I'm on vacation, wherever I'm at, to be what I say I am and not just have a veneer. You know, you've heard the expression, it's a small world, hadn't you? You heard that? When do we use that? You know, I believe, and Anita can correct me of this if I'm wrong, but a number of years ago, Anita went with another school mother, and Rodney and the other mother's child, I don't remember, and they went to Washington, D.C. on a field trip. That's pretty cool, isn't it? It was wonderful that they could go out there. And the school, it was something through academics at school that they were rewarded with being able to go on this field trip. And they got there, and it just so happened that while they were in Washington, D.C., she ran into a classmate that she graduated with from Blue Jacket, Oklahoma. What's the odds of that? Not very good. You know, that's when we use that expression, it's a small world, isn't it? Just the other day, in fact, it was Wednesday, my brother-in-law stopped and picked up somebody that needed some help. They were walking alongside the road. Gets to talking to this fella and finds out that he knows Brother Randy Sorrell over there from the Billings congregation. Knew his children. You know, we say it's a small world, and it is. I don't know how this all happens, but you know, the odds are, if we're not solid hardwood, it'll come out in the worst possible time. We'll think, boy, I won't meet anybody I know in Jamaica where I'm at. Or there's nobody that I know that'll ever come to South Africa where I've went, or wherever it might be, New York City, Washington, D.C., San Francisco, any place on this in our United States. Not so many years ago, it was a Sunday afternoon. We'd moved over here. I don't remember how long we'd been here, but you know how it is when you see somebody you know in a place you wasn't expecting them. I walked in to Sears over here on a Sunday afternoon at the mall in Joplin, and my wife was wanting to look for something, and I said, "You'll find me in the tools over at Sears. That's where I'm going to go." So I was in Sears, and I was walking up one aisle, down the other, just looking to see what they had, see if they had any specials or anything that looked interesting to me. And I turned the corner, and there's Brother Ted Bach from Sepulpa. And you just never know when you're going to... I was so happy to see him that I give him a hug in the Sears and Roebuck story. I didn't have anything to hide, and he didn't either. And I was so glad to, you know, it was wonderful to see him. He was no different than when I see him at camp meeting, and I wasn't either. And I just want to challenge us here tonight to be veneer quality. Don't have veneer, but be veneer quality. Don't let those things be named in our life that would bring condemnation, that would bring guilt, that would cause us to not be able to dwell in the house of the Lord. I want to be I want to find myself in a place like Psalms 15, where he says, Lord, who shall dwell in thy holy hill? I want the Lord to be able to say, you can dwell in my holy hill. You can be in my presence. I want to live that way. I want to have that quality of experience with the Lord more than having a good appearance on the outside. Been a lot of things that's been covered up over the years, and the things that I've found is the old saying, time will tell. Time will tell if it's real or if it's just a veneer. So my challenge is that we would be real tonight. Be real for the Lord. You pray for me. I want to be found faithful.